Hello everyone, welcome back to the exciting show. Today I have the fantastic Joe Goodwin, who is probably most well known for being associate on Funny Girl with Stephen Meyer. And you just finished doing that, didn't you, in Paris? We were just talking about it.
Yeah, literally on the 7th of March we finished. So luckily we were able to fulfil our whole contract. So we started rehearsals in September and we were only meant to do 60 performances, but it got, you know, we got 5-star reviews. We were on like every TV programme in Paris and they doubled the length of our contract. So we got an extra 60 performances and we finished on March the 7th. Within 10 days of lockdown. So that was crazy because we could have been still in Paris on lockdown. But
it was 60 days you did. Was there ever talk that you could do an extended, or was it just you had no clue that that might happen?
Yeah, initially there was an option. They said, you know, it could end in like literally the 3rd of January or potentially March the 7th. But previously, obviously in Paris, they don't really have long running musicals because they like to go to the opera, the ballet, you know, they're very cultured, but not so much in like the typical Broadway musical. So shows like 42nd Street, and I've done On the Town there, and I did Guys and Dolls there, they tend to be kind of maybe 45 to 60 performances. So we thought, you know, brilliant, how wonderful. And then the owner of the theatre came on and spoke to us all and said, we are definitely going to do till March 7th. And everyone was like, oh my God, because these days, and especially now, you know, you think, when do you ever get told something like that? You know, you normally get told 2 weeks notice or, you know, unfortunately we're going to cancel this venue. And to have that good news, it was brilliant. So we were all elated.
So what was your favourite part about being in France?
Well, I love just walking around in Paris. Like, you can just go and grab a coffee and walk around, and before you know it, you're walking through Louvre and you're there in the Tuileries Gardens and you look up and there's the Eiffel Tower. It is like you're in a movie, and everyone is so stereotypically French. Like, every cafe's got people sat out just drinking espresso no matter what time it is, so you don't have to kind of spend money to have a good day. I would leave my apartment and just wander around different areas. So that's what I do miss, especially at the moment, is the freedom to just go and wander around a beautiful city. So that was wonderful. And if you go and, you know, even just go for one drink, everything just seems very sort of chic and glamorous. Even if you could be the grubbiest of bars, you just feel like a Parisian. So that's what I do miss the most.
So you feel very lucky that you got to have the experience of having a big new city before you got put in a big lockdown.
I know, and I did a show there before, I did Guys and Dolls there before, and I only had like about 2 months in between. So to have like a year there and then come back, I always think I'm lucky in every job, you know, you get to do that for a living, but even more so now, I'm glad that I made the most of it. And you've always got the memories as you sit at home and watch the hours go by. So very grateful.
Awesome. So before you did Funny Girl, one of the two shows you did was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes.
So how'd that come about, that being in that show?
Well, obviously, Chitty, it was its first revival, and I was doing Barnum at the time, and I was assisting Andrew Wright, and I really love assisting. So I bumped into Stephen Meyer when I was going to watch Gypsy, and he said, obviously, that Chitty was happening and a big tour, and I thought, I've done so many short contracts, and I thought, you know what, I would love to get my teeth into looking after a big show. And so I spoke to Stephen a few times, and I had to go in and sing, because the associate role had to cover the Baroness and had to be in the show. So I had to tick those boxes. I couldn't just be kind of shoehorned in the show because of the choreographer, which I think some people don't realize. I think some people think you get a free pass if you're the associate. So I went in and I sang and I did some script, and then literally later on that day I got a call to say that was, you know, I ticked the relevant boxes and, you know, that I was going to get an offer for that, because obviously Stephen needed somebody that he knew and could trust, because I don't know if you're aware, the whole tour of that obviously it spanned over 18 months and we had 17 principal cast changes. So we had basically every 2 months, I'd say, we had different celebrities or musical theatre names or, you know, musical theatre actors. And we also, every venue had 16 local children, two sets of local children, which you had to go and rehearse 2 weeks prior. So it was a massive machine of a show. And obviously that needs to be with somebody that the choreographer trusts. But that was actually the first time that I assisted Stephen, having worked for him on, I think at that point I'd worked on about 6 or 7 shows for him, but not as an assistant. So it all came about. I was very lucky with how it came about, really. But it was a massive machine of a show. And I do look back on it and go, God, it was mammoth, but I did love it. Very busy.
When you started out in the business, did you ever think that it would become this, working on so many shows? Because when I told you beforehand, I interviewed Adam Crossley, and when I called him and said, I've got an interview with Joe Goodwin, what's she known for? He was like, everything.
Which I find hilarious, because I still absolutely love shows, and I do, like I said, count myself very lucky every time I'm in one. I am, if you looked at my reaction to like read-throughs and things, sing-throughs, and you still would look at me and think, oh, she's probably quite new to it, because I still love it like it's my first show in that respect. And when I, you know, when I got my first job, I was elated, and I thought, how can anyone be so lucky to actually do another show? So after I did The Producers, I thought, I've been lucky enough to do one, so I'll probably, let's see if I get another one. And then it's like, oh God. And you think, oh, okay, it's been 14 years now. And I am very, very lucky to have done what I've done. And I've enjoyed everything. Even if some of them have been comedy stories, it's still been enjoyable. So yeah, I've been very lucky.
Awesome. So you told me that before you did Chitty Bang Bang, you worked with the same producer on Barnum, is that right?
Or it wasn't the same producer. It was it was Andrew Wright. I did Andrew Wright on Barnum. So yeah, it went Barnum and straight into Chitty. So that was a big tour as well. I don't know if you watched the program as well, the musicals program, that was actually the making of Barnum, and they did a big making of on Channel 4 with Happy Days, which I worked on as well with Andrew. But Barnum was massive in the way of injuries. In the way of Chitty, we had all hundreds of cast changes. Barnum was basically every day there was a physio appointment for something drastic. You know, people broke feet, hips, shoulders, not broke all those, but there was big injuries to everything, because obviously the acrobatics, and you know, we're going from different venues, so there's various different ways that you would have to do things in on the set. So every week it was like a maths equation trying to work out how you could possibly get all those elements on that stage and deliver that same show in every venue. So that was massive. Very, you know, you look at the show setups and be like, well, if I play a boy there, then that person will do that bit and make sure that person doesn't get dropped on the floor. So yeah, I did learn a lot though on that show. It was mammoth.
So I think what most people I've ever done Q&As with want to always know is, what's the worst thing that's ever happened on stage in a show that you've worked on?
The worst thing was in Barnum, the understudy to Brian Conley actually was on walking the high wire. So we had a high wire that Brian had to walk across whilst singing at the end of act one. And the understudy went on, and he'd done 3 shows that week, and he just misplaced his footing and he went smack down, fell off the high wire. Luckily it was the end of act one, so he got himself up, hobbled up. And we were all on stage watching anyway, because it's meant to be like a suspense moment. The curtain came down and basically he'd broken his foot, but he had to be like stretchered out of the Edinburgh Playhouse, and because we'd all seen it and seen the blood kind of go from his face, that was the worst thing, because you kind of thought, oh my God, what has he done? So that was the worst thing, and because your heart was pounding. Yes, that was the worst thing ever, actually. But he's fine right now.
Okay, good.
He's in Phantom now. He's dancing, well, maybe not dancing away, but he's fine.
Thought I'd better check so everyone knows that I'm okay.
He's fine. He's done Mary Poppins since as well, so.
That's good. So another show you've worked on is Sweet Charity.
Yes.
How'd that come about?
Well, as I was doing Hello Dolly at Regent's Park before, and Stephen Meir was saying his next show was Sweet Charity. And of course, I think I was 22 and I was like, oh my God, you know, big spender, the Froog. Oh my God, I'd love to do this. And it was originally at the Menier Chocolate Factory. So I went to audition for it and I didn't get it. I think, you know, when I looked in that room, everyone was like, a woman, like at 22, you don't look like you've worked for hours at the Fandango ballroom. And I had blonde hair at the time, and I went into my audition with like a very sort of, not with a look, if you know what I mean. I think that show, every woman has to be distinct. And I didn't get it, and I was really upset. And then the show ran at the Chocolate Factory for about 6 months, and it got a transfer to the West End, and they needed two swings to join the company, two female swings and one male swing, and an understudy second cover Charity. And I thought, I'm just going to go for it again. So I got called in to audition, but before that I dyed my hair red and I got a fringe cut in. And I went with like more of a distinct look. And I really worked hard on the choreography that we'd learned in the audition, and really kind of really tried to nail my song. And I went in, and I was fortunate enough then to get offered swing. And I also then got offered the cover to Charity as well. But, you know, and I was like, you know, I learned so much on that show, because the cast was Tamsin Althwaite, Josephina Gabrielle, Tiffany Graves, Jack Edwards, Ebony Molina. Like, if you list all the cast that were in that show, they are all, everyone, they're all like legends, you know. Alexis Owen Hobbs, Zach Nemerin, they're all people that you look up to and aspire to be like. So then in that room, I was very grateful to be there. And Richard Jones is now the resident choreographer of Mary Poppins, and Richard Rose, Arlene Phillips' main assistant. So to be in that room, I was very lucky, but still I was only 23. I was the youngest by quite a long shot again, but you know, you just kind of learn from everybody. So that's how Sweet Charity came about.
Just in case anyone at home isn't sure, do you want to explain what a swing is?
Oh yeah, so a swing learns all the ensemble tracks for their sex, whether it's female or male, but you can also be a crossover swing, or, you know, if it's a show where you can learn the male tracks if it makes sense for you to go on as that. So there were parts in Sweet Charity where, you know, a female could play a male in the Froog, for instance, and things like that. If you were really down, you could do that. So you learn all those parts, and with the swings, you maybe have three females, and each female will have a first cover, a second cover, and third covers. So because there were four female ensemble tracks in Sweet Charity, I had one first cover, two second covers, and one third cover. So that's like the priority of which you learn them. But obviously, if two people are off, you may have to go on for your third cover. So that doesn't mean that you learn the third cover not as detailed, because you could go on as anybody at any point. So yeah, you could go on halfway through a number. It just depends how, you know, when you're needed, but you have to be switched on and ready to go.
Amazing. So the first show you did is The Producers.
Yes.
How did that feel, getting that first role, that first part, that first job?
That was crazy, because at the time, when I was in first year, a lot of our third years, because I went to Lanes, about four of the third years were original cast of the show. And at that time, The Producers, obviously still to this day, has won the most Tony Awards. It was you know, it was the most buzzed about musical at that moment. And, you know, Miss Lane absolutely loved it. So we all knew about the producers. So as a tall girl, you know, I'm 5'10", in third year when they were doing their final cast change and the audition came through, I was like, this is the dream. Like, that's the, that and Chicago, which I still want to do, were like the two shows that I was like, they're the dream. And so when I went into audition, I went in quite a lot. Like, I think I went in about 7 times. And on the final, Susan Stroman was in there. And obviously, you know, she's an idol. She, you know, she's the female choreographer director. She's created some of the best shows on Broadway and centre stage, the movie, which is iconic. Obviously, she's the choreographer of that. And I watched that all the time. So when I went in, I had to go in on my own for the final. And I shook Stroh's hand and I actually curtsied. And I look back on that moment and go, oh my God, I curtsied. And I had to perform all the choreography to her, sing my song. And then I left and she was so nice. And I remember going back to college and everyone was like, oh my God, what was it like? What was she like? And I was like, it was amazing. And because obviously we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Twitter. So I kind of, for 2 weeks, just lived this like blissful, unaware of maybe someone else got it, maybe I did, you know, you just didn't have that pressure of checking Twitter to see had the offers gone out. Or so I got a phone call. Oh no, we didn't even really have mobile phones that much then either, because it was like 15 years ago. So a notice went up at the college saying, could I go and see the college agent? And I went upstairs and he said, so Jill Green, who cast it, is called, and you've been offered the producers. And I was like, what? I like ran down the stairs and loads of people. It was like fame, like everyone was there. And I was like, I got it. And everyone was like, oh my God. And so I just remember it being one of the best. And I remember ringing my parents and, you know, everyone was crying because you just never thought that you'd get your dream show as your first job and in the West End. And my feet just didn't touch the ground. And I did 6 months, the final 6 months in London. And then I was in the first tour, and well, only tour of the original version for a year after that. And it was amazing. And I look back on that and go, oh, those are the big shows, like, that I feel like they're one once in a lifetime opportunity. So it was amazing to be part of that. Loved it.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on the show today. We're coming to the end of the interview. I've got a couple more questions really quickly to ask you.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll just sort of rush through them because I know you've got
something
to do afterwards. But the first one I warned you about, and that is, if you could be in any show as any character with no stereotypes or anything, which character and which musical would you pick?
I always, like I said, just, you know, I've always wanted to be in Chicago and I'd love to still be Velma. Like, still, I know it's very stereotypical, but I do think that the older you get, the more right you are for that show. But either Roxy or Velma, but I do think normally the taller one is Velma. You know, just that's just normally the case. So I still love to just to do all that jazz on stage. I know it's very boring, but yeah.
If any Chicago producers are watching, you know who to call.
I know. Come on, get some new people in.
Next question is, you have to listen carefully because some people get confused. But if you had to pick between only listening to one original cast recording for the rest of your life or listening to any cast recording but never going back to it after you listen to it once, what would you pick?
Ooh. I'd probably pick the second one, listening to any but then not going back. I'd rather have loads of options than just play one over and over and over. Okay, so yeah, the second option.
Two more questions. This one's a weird one, but I'll ask you anyway. If you had to pick between never dancing again or being a tap dancing sheep, what would you pick?
I'd be a tap dancing sheep for sure.
But you'd just, so you know, you'd remember being a human, you could only eat grass and you live in a field.
Oh God. I can't imagine not. Oh, well, my family. Yeah, maybe I'd probably pick to be a human and not dance. Probably the first one then.
Good choice. And the final question is, if you could be any Disney princess, which one would you be and why?
Oh, I know people love Disney, but I'm not that. I'm not really a Disney sort of, I don't really know. Just a Disney princess. I can't even think of one. Probably Cinderella. Classic.
Good choice.
Classic. To live in a castle. She does live in a castle, doesn't she? I'm not very good with Disney and Harry Potter. I'm like, sorry, no idea.
Okay, thank you for answering my questions. Thank you for coming on the show. It's been amazing. And if you've got any advice for anyone stuck at home right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll steal this from Steve and Mia, really, because he's saying it a lot. Use this time to look on YouTube, watch old musicals, get yourself properly, get your mind totally filled with the inspiration of kind of where everything came from, and know your craft. Because, you know, when you ask students sometimes, have you heard of this person and this musical and this director, they look at you like that, and you just think, if you're a doctor, you have to know every single operation, disease, etc., as much as you can possibly know. So as a performer, you can't just expect to turn up, sing, but not know anything about your craft. So learn as much as you can. It's on your at the end of your fingertips, and take in as many of kind of Q&As and lessons as you can on Instagram as you can.
Speaking of that, people should join your dance Instagram lives Friday 6 till 7 or Saturday 12 till 1. And they can find that. What's your Instagram name?
It's J Goodwin Dance. J is in the letter J, Goodwin Dance.
Okay, cool. So everyone should follow that.
Yeah.
I think there's only two more things to say, Lah. Firstly is, make sure you donate to the link in the description. It's down there. And it's to raise money for Acting for Others, which is very important right now. I'll put a link to the website for Acting for Others as well, so you can read more about it there. And the final thing to say is, remember my one piece of advice, and that is to always